A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's the kind of thing that I think a lot of people are quietly frustrated about but haven't seen articulated. Here's the situation. You ask your AI assistant something straightforward. Did I get a quote back for the industrial shelving? And it comes back empty. Meanwhile, the actual reply is sitting right there in your inbox, unread, three threads down. Daniel tried this across both Gemini and ChatGPT, with the official Gmail connectors set up, and the retrieval was just missed real replies. And when he tried the write email feature in ChatGPT, the call flat out failed.
Which is wild when you think about it, because we've had the Model Context Protocol for almost a year now. Anthropic introduced MCP back in November 2024. The plumbing exists. Individual developers can wire up a Gmail MCP server and get decent results in a prototype. But the moment you try to use it through ChatGPT or Gemini at production scale, it falls apart.
That's the tension Daniel's pointing at. He's built prototypes himself that handle this more reliably than the paid products. But he doesn't want to build his own daily use chatbot. That's why he pays for ChatGPT. So his question is, what's actually breaking here, and how far away are we from seamless read-write access across email, calendar, contacts, and Drive?
Meanwhile, some developer in a weekend built a working prototype using the same MCP primitives. That gap between what's technically possible and what's actually shipping is the whole story.
The stakes are higher than just, my AI missed an email. If you try this feature twice and it fails both times, you stop using it. The trust erosion is faster than the adoption curve. The AI didn't fail to reason about the email. It failed to find it, because the search query it constructed didn't match the actual data.
What it does not do, and this is the thing everyone misses, is handle authentication, rate limiting, pagination, or error recovery. The protocol solves the how-to-call problem. It does not solve the how-to-call reliably at scale problem. But the gap between a prototype that a developer tunes with hard-coded search operators and a production system that has to translate generic natural language into precise API calls, that gap is enormous.
Let's unpack what's actually going on under the hood, because the answer isn't that the AI is dumb. It's that the pipes are leaky, the safety layers add friction, and the business incentives push vendors toward caution over capability.
Google and OpenAI still have to build the electrical grid.
Daniel's prototypes worked because he was wiring one room, his own account, his own tokens, his own error handling. He controlled the whole stack. Meanwhile, under the hood, the thing burned through 1,000 quota units trying to paginate across 200 threads and hit a wall.
That sounds like a lot until you realize that searching for industrial shelving quote might require multiple API calls. One to list threads, another to get message details, maybe a third to check attachments. If the model doesn't know it hit a rate limit mid-search, it just returns whatever partial results it got and says nothing found. The actual reply is sitting on page 3 of the results, but the model never paginated. For one user in a prototype, that's fine. For ChatGPT managing millions of users sharing a single API project's quota, it's a hard constraint.
The AI has to be stingy with how deep it searches, which means it stops looking before it finds the thing. Not a reasoning failure, a budget failure.
So the model has to decide what to retrieve. It formulates a query, sends it to the Gmail API, and gets back results. But if the query is poorly phrased, or the API returns partial results, or the search index doesn't match the way you think about your own email, the model has no feedback loop.
If it gets the threading wrong, the write path breaks too. Sending a reply means specifying a thread ID. If the AI constructs the message with slightly wrong headers, Gmail creates a brand new thread instead of appending to the existing one. Which is what a human does instinctively. You search your inbox, don't see the thing, try different keywords, check a different folder. The AI does one pass and shrugs.
Ride operations are even more fragile. When Daniel tried to reply to a thread via ChatGPT and the call failed, that's almost certainly a thread state problem. To send a reply via the Gmail API, you need the correct thread ID, the correct message ID, and proper MIME formatting. But between the moment the model reads the thread and the moment it tries to write to it, the thread state can change.
The prototype has no safety layer and one user. The production system has a dozen safety layers and millions of users. Of course, the prototype works better. The surprising thing isn't that the production integrations are brittle. The read and the write are happening in different transactional states, and there's no locking mechanism.
And this is not a protocol problem. MCP doesn't specify transaction semantics. It's an implementation problem. Each vendor has to build their own retry logic, their own conflict resolution, their own state management. And they have to do it for millions of users with wildly different inbox sizes, attachment volumes, and network conditions.
Let's talk about authentication, because that's the unglamorous thing nobody wants to think about. OAuth tokens expire. Refresh flows are asynchronous. Scopes differ between read and write. A prototype that works for one user's single account breaks when the system has to manage thousands of token states simultaneously. With tokens expiring at different times, users revoking access, refresh tokens themselves expiring.
Google's security review process for cross-product data access is not trivial. Even though Google owns both Gemini and Gmail, the team building the Gemini integration has to go through the same security reviews as any third-party developer. Internal silos are real. The Gemini team and the Gmail team are different organizations with different priorities, different release cycles, different risk assessments.
Which explains why Google's theoretical advantage, owning both the AI and the data, hasn't actually materialized in the product. They could build deeply integrated low-latency connectors. They haven't. It's like asking someone to find a book in a library by describing the cover, and they only check the fiction section because your description sounded like a novel.
So their reliability depends entirely on how well they've implemented their connector layer, the error handling, the retry logic, the pagination management. And Daniel's experience suggests that implementation is not where it needs to be. Across millions of users, the system has to be conservative, so it often stops after one or two pages and reports no results.
But shipping that same functionality to millions of users, with all the edge cases and failure modes that introduces, is a fundamentally different engineering challenge.
I call this the prototype paradox. The easier it is to build a prototype, the harder it is to understand why the production version is taking so long. MCP made prototyping trivial, and that's a good thing. But it also created unrealistic expectations about how quickly vendors could ship production-grade integrations.
The failure pattern in production are not the fun kind of engineering problems. They're not algorithmic breakthroughs. They're token refresh collisions at 3 in the morning. The pagination edge cases when a user has exactly 100 threads matching a query. The MIME formatting errors when an email has nested attachments. This is the plumbing work that nobody gives keynotes about.
It's the plumbing work that determines whether users trust the product. And right now, the trust is eroding. Daniel's experience, trying the feature, getting failures, and then coming to us to ask what's going on. That's the user journey that kills adoption. You don't get a third chance to make a first impression. In production, you've got millions of users, a quota budget, safety filters scanning every outbound message for sensitive content, and a latency budget that says the user expects a response in under 3 seconds.
But the gap between a working prototype and a reliable product is wide, and it's filled with unglamorous infrastructure problems that neither Google nor OpenAI has fully solved yet. Every shortcut increases the failure rate, and the failure rate is already high enough that users like Daniel just assume the feature doesn't work.
The technical mechanisms are only half the story. The other half is about what this brittleness does to people's heads. Daniel said something in his prompt that I think is the most damning line in this whole situation. He said, "I wasn't surprised to see that it didn't work."
That's the vision everyone's been selling?
It's not science fiction. The primitives exist. The Gmail API has supported read and write operations for years. Google Calendar has a mature API. Drive has one. MCP provides a clean way for an AI model to discover and invoke those tools. On paper, everything is in place. What Daniel's test reveals is that on paper and in practice are living in different zip codes right now.
His test was about as basic as it gets. Did I get a quote back? That's not asking the AI to negotiate the price or draft a counteroffer. It's a search query. And it failed. Across two different vendors.
The right failure is almost more telling. Read is hard. You're searching across a massive, unstructured dataset with all the pagination and rate-limiting issues we touched on. But write should be simpler.
The safety impulse is understandable, though. Imagine the headline. AI assistant sends confidential email to wrong recipient. That's a front-page disaster that sets adoption back years. So they wrap the right path in content filters, confirmation dialogues, moderation checks, rate limiters.
Anthropic had tool use with a different one. If you built a Gmail connector, you had to write it three different ways. MCP said, here's one standard. Describe your tools once. Any MCP-compatible model can use them. That's real value. A prototype has none of this. It just sends the email.
There was a case in May. A ChatGPT user reported that the Gmail write action sent a draft to entirely the wrong thread because the AI misidentified the thread ID. The user had to manually delete the draft. OpenAI's fix was to add a confirmation dialog before sending, which users now blindly click through because they've been trained to ignore confirmation dialogs since 1995.
Those are implementation details that each vendor has to solve themselves, and they are the hard parts.
The authentication layer alone is a nightmare at scale. Walk me through what actually happens when Daniel connects his Gmail to ChatGPT. Nothing about idempotency, so the AI doesn't know whether resending a failed write will duplicate the email. Nothing about conflict resolution when two actions touch the same calendar event. Nothing about state management.
The access token is short-lived, typically expires in an hour. The refresh token is long-lived, but can be revoked by the user, or it can expire if the app is in testing mode, or it can hit Google's limits on the number of outstanding refresh tokens per user.
Every vendor is building their own operational layer on top of MCP, which means the reliability story is different for ChatGPT versus Gemini versus Claude. There's no shared infrastructure for the hard parts.
The calendar integration makes this painfully concrete. The free busy query is straightforward. You ask the Google Calendar API whether a time slot is open. It says yes or no. The Gmail Red scope lets you fetch messages and search. The Modify scope lets you change labels. The Send scope is separate. The Compose scope is separate.
The AI has to simulate human judgment about what's a reasonable time to book. Is 9 p.m. too late? Is 6 a.m. too early? Does this person have a 30-minute gap between meetings, or do they need a buffer? The API doesn't answer those questions, which is probably exactly what happened to Daniel.
Drive adds yet another layer. File search across Drive means understanding permissions. Is the file in my Drive or a shared Drive? Does the user have edit access or just view? Is it the latest version or an old revision? Interpreting API errors is hard for an LLM.
If it gets the MIME type wrong, or searches the wrong drive, or misses a shared folder, the result is zero files found. The user sees failure. The AI didn't fail to understand the request. It failed to translate the request into a query syntax that matches how the data is actually organized.
Microsoft sidesteps a lot of this with Copilot for 365. It runs inside the Microsoft Graph, which has native access to the same data store as Outlook. No API translation layer, no search syntax guessing, no quota management across an external API boundary. It just queries the graph directly.
Which is faster and more reliable, but is locked to the Microsoft ecosystem. If your company runs on Google Workspace, Copilot can't help you. Google and OpenAI are trying to do this cross-platform, which is inherently harder. They have to go through public APIs that weren't designed for AI assistants to begin with.
Given all these constraints, what can you actually do today to get more reliable results? Because Daniel's not wrong to want this to work. The pieces are there, they're just not assembled in a way you can trust yet.
First thing, and this is the one that'll save you the most frustration, stop using natural language for search. I know it feels wrong. You're talking to an AI. You want to talk to it like a person. But the translation layer is where most of the failures live, so bypass it.
There's no confidence, scoring, no pagination transparency, no indication that the search was partial. Search Gmail for emails from Acme at example.com with subject containing quote since June 1st. That maps almost one-to-one onto what the Gmail API actually expects, so the AI isn't guessing at search operators. It's just passing through what you gave it.
If you don't know the exact sender address, at least give it the domain and a date range. The date range is especially important because it constrains how many threads the AI has to paginate through. Less pagination means fewer quota units burned and a higher chance the thing actually completes before the system gives up.
Second actionable thing, and this one's going to sound like I'm telling you not to use the feature you paid for, but hear me out. For write actions, treat the AI as a draft generator, not an autonomous sender. To send a reply via the Gmail API, you need the thread ID, the message ID you're replying to, the correct MIME formatting, and the right headers in reply. 2. References. The thread ID and message ID come from the read operation.
The write path is where the brittleness goes from annoying to dangerous. A missed search result wastes 30 seconds. An email sent to the wrong thread, or worse, the wrong person, that's a problem that takes real time to clean up. The model is operating on stale state and doesn't know it.
The failure pattern is a 409 conflict. The API says the resource has changed since you last read it. A well-engineered system would catch that, reread the thread to get the current state, and retry the write. But that requires the model to understand what a 409 means, know to reread, and have the tool calling logic to loop back. Most implementations don't have that loop, they just fail.
What about the MIME formatting? That seems like the kind of thing that should just work. They don't go through the public API translation layer. They query the same data store the application itself uses.
If the original email has HTML formatting and the model generates plain text, the threading can break. If there are attachments in the thread, the MIME structure gets complex. The model has to generate a valid MIME message programmatically, and LLMs are not great at generating precise structured output without a lot of guardrails.
Every write operation is a tightrope walk across thread state, MIME formatting, and authentication scope, and the model is doing it without a safety net. But for reliability right now, the AI that lives inside your ecosystem is going to outperform the one knocking on the front door through a public API.
You say, if I get a 409, reread the thread and retry. You say, if I get a 429, wait the specified seconds and retry. You say, after every search, check if there's a next page token and keep going until there isn't. These are procedural guarantees. When you hand the same tools to an LLM and say figure it out, the model is making probabilistic decisions about whether to paginate, whether to retry, whether the error is recoverable. Sometimes it guesses right. Often it doesn't.
The tool definition is trivial. The reliable execution is the hard part, and MCP doesn't touch it.
Document what you see. Which search phrasings worked and which didn't. Whether the write path threaded correctly or spawned a new conversation. That kind of failure mode documentation is exactly what the product teams need to prioritize fixes. And the damage compounds because these aren't obscure power. User features, they're the features that were supposed to make AI assistance indispensable. Check my email for me is the elevator pitch.
Daniel's experience, the read path missing replies, the write path failing outright. That's not an edge case. It's the typical experience. It's worse than a feature not existing. If Gmail integration had never been promised, users would just keep checking their own email. No harm done. But shipping it broken trains users to distrust the assistance answers across the board. You start wondering, if it missed the shelving quote, what else is it missing? Is MCP going to evolve into something that handles all this operational stuff? Retry logic, idempotency, conflict resolution? Or are we watching each vendor quietly build their own proprietary layer that bypasses MCP entirely?
Shipping a reliable Gmail integration inside Google requires the Gemini team to coordinate with the Gmail API team, the identity and authentication team, the security review team, and the infrastructure team that handles rate limiting and quota management. Those are different vice presidents, different OKRs, different release schedules. None of them will wait for a standards committee.
Because the competitive advantage of being first to solve this is enormous. The vendor that delivers reliable read-write across email, calendar, and drive, where you actually trust it to send the reply to the right thread, that vendor wins a huge chunk of the productivity market.
Right now, nobody has it. The pieces are all there, as Daniel pointed out, but assembling them into something that works at scale, across ecosystems, without terrifying the legal department, that's a 2 to 3 year project. Maybe longer if the industry splinters into walled gardens.
The next time your AI says it couldn't find that email, ask yourself a different question. Not, why is the AI so dumb, but which pipe broke? Was it the search translation, the pagination budget, the thread reconstruction? The answer tells you where the real work needs to happen.
And Daniel's tests suggest that implementation still has gaps.
Compare this to Apple. Siri can read your messages, check your calendar, pull up contacts, and it mostly works. Not because Apple's AI is better, but because they control the operating system, the APIs, and the data layer.
In the early 1500s, the horseshoe crab population around the Seychelles was so dense that sailors reported navigating by the bioluminescent glow of their blood in shallow waters at night.
Bioluminescent navigation by crab blood. That's our show. Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to send us your own question, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back next week.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.